We're answering your questions about the Hoosier State as part of our Inquire Indiana project. Bloomington resident Shelby Hoshaw asked us to find out more about the history of racism and hate groups in Indiana and their impact on our lives today. As Barbara Brozier reports, that history here in the Hoosier State is both long and complicated.
Though it's evolved over the years, racism's been a constant in Indiana history. It's been around much longer than the state itself, but we see the attitudes manifest in Indiana's first constitution in 1816. James Madison is a professor emeritus for Indiana University's history department. He says, while the Constitution prohibited slavery, it also didn't allow black men to vote.
And in many other ways, the pioneers at the very beginning excluded African Americans from citizenship and from full participation in everyday life in Indiana. And that pattern laid down at the very beginning persisted into the 20th century.
The Ku Klux Klan became especially powerful in Indiana in the 1920s, when it had significant influence over state politics. In 1924, voters elected Edward Jackson as governor, who was rumored to be a Klan member because of his close ties with Indiana Klan leader D.C. Stevenson.
The Klan had many enemies. Certainly the Klan's enemies included African Americans, but the Klan enemies also include Jewish Hoosiers, and above all, and most importantly, Catholics and immigrants. And the Klan in Indiana in the 1920s labeled them as the people most responsible for tearing down America, for taking America off the good path that it was on and tearing it down.
It was during that same decade that Indianapolis opened its first and only all-black high school, Crispus Attucks.
When it first was built, it was built out of racism. The school board members at that time were Ku Klux Klan members. They did not want white students and black students going to high school together.
That's Patricia Payne. Her parents were in the first two graduating classes, and their pictures still hang on the walls. While the school was born out of racism, Payne says it became a symbol of strength for the black community. Many of the teachers were university professors who couldn't get jobs elsewhere because they were black. Payne says they challenged and encouraged the students.
But what happened was we took lemons and made lemonade.
Now there's a museum in the high school that tells the story of much more than Crispus Attucks. It starts as far back as ancient Egypt.
We make sure that all children who come here understand that the history of black people did not start on a plantation in America.
The exhibits on the museum's walls aren't the only evidence of racism in Indiana. Michael Twyman teaches classes about race and social justice at IU. He says racism is evident in the makeup of school systems, neighborhoods, and jail populations. Decisions made decades ago are still having an impact today. Twyman points to the decision Indianapolis city leaders made in the 1970s to unify Marion County and Indianapolis governments, but not the school systems.
And you look at what it did to public education and how in many ways the divisiveness we have with school districts that we now determine IPS and then suburban districts, if you will, which are really not all that suburban anymore, really shifted issues around access and issues around parity and quality and equity that unfortunately have fallen along racial lines.
And as you follow the path of I-65 and I-70, Twyman says you'll travel right through the middle of what were once vibrant black communities in Indianapolis, torn apart to make way for the roads.
I don't know how you ever really rebound from that, at least not in a short amount of time, because it then begins to create certain impediments and barriers for other economic development, because when you do infrastructure that really begins to define what's possible, it makes it very difficult to get not only economies of scale, but really the type of critical mass of resources that will allow certain communities and neighborhoods to be vibrant again.
Those scars make it hard for Indiana to buck the reputation of being a closed-minded, sometimes racist state. Just last year, the KKK held a rally in Madison, Indiana. But Madison says the event drew far more protesters.
But across the state in small towns, I sense that there is a movement toward more acceptance and a movement against hatred.
Like in the 1920s when the Klan was in power, Madison says the problems communities face are the fault of their citizens. He says that's why it's up to individuals to speak out and make a change. For WFIU News, I'm Barbara Brozier.